This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Here's the pitch, and Pages swings and misses. Strike three. Yuki Matsui in his Padre debut strikes out the side in order.
Yeah, pretty good debut for Yuki Matsui. Not so much for the Padres today, though, in their spring training opener. They are roughed up, as it were, by the Los Angeles Dodgers. 14-1 was the final score. Yikes. Dodgers got 8 runs in the first inning. Joe Musgrove faced 4 hitters, gave up a walk, a hit, a hit batter, and a double. That was it for Joe today. All 4 runs came in to score. 4 more were tacked on against a couple of minor league arms. And the Dodgers were well on their way to that 14-1 win. But Yuki Matsui did provide a highlight, striking out the side in his spring training debut. The free agent lefty signed from Japan, making a good first impression today. Jake Cronenworth homered for the Padres' lone run today. He hit it off left-hander Alex Vesia. A hanging inside changeup from Vesia. Be honest, Cronenworth should hit that pitch out of the ballpark. But after the season Jake had last year, it's a good way to start, certainly. Chris Ello here. Sammy Levitt is in Peoria today. Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, working the opener with Jesse Agler today on the radio. Matt Scraby's also off. And, Sammy, you were talking about where would Matt Scraby need to be on the day of the spring training opener.
Right.
Right? But he had a family thing.
Okay.
He had a family thing.
He's been tweeting today.
Sorry?
He's been tweeting
today. Oh, I know. He can't stay away from it. He's in the Bay Area. His sister had to do something important, and so he had to take care of the kids.
Okay.
That's where Scraby is, taking care of kids.
Good guy, Scraby.
One big kid taking care of 2 little kids. So, yeah, we'll have Scraby back on Monday. No Scraby Chronicles today unless Adam Klug wants to fill in from 6 to 7. Not getting a response, so I'm assuming that's a no. Mike Schilt talking about the performance of Yuki Matsui today in his Padre debut. Schilt saying some good things, I imagine.
Still ran out against some of their better guys. Everything was crisp, worked ahead, late, good life on his fastball. It was a good debut.
Joe, just getting through it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, nobody's going to make excuses, of course, Joe, but we do have to recognize his first big league game he's pitched in since July 28th. So, you know, went out there and around the plate, just not his day.
What do you think of Jackson in left field?
Oh, he's fantastic. I mean, you know, listen, ball players just get it done, man. He just found a way to get it done, made the diving play, made the play against the wall in the sun. That's not an easy play. He made it look relatively easy and just found a way to get it done. It looked great.
Where's the music, Adam? We don't get music with that sound clip.
Bye.
Bye. Gavin Lux, Chris Owings, and somebody named Pages, who was a pinch hitter, were those that Matsui struck out today.
Yeah, and I missed the very beginning of what Mike Schilt said about Yuki Matsui, because, as I said, it just was not prepared there down on the field. It had been a while since.
Oh, that was your sound clip.
Yes, it
I
was.
See. I think it was fine.
So that was my first post-game spring training media scrum. So things were a little all over the place, but you got the gist of what he said about Yuki Matsui, and it was very impressive. I mean, everything was working. Matsui said after the game he was really using that slider, and he said he was a little bit nervous before the game, but he obviously did really, really well. So good for him, and certainly some good stuff. And
did he
go from here?
Did he? I'm looking at the play-by-play on paper here. It says Gavin Lux, first pitch foul ball, second pitch strike, third pitch strike three, swinging. Chris Owings, strike. Foul ball, third pitch, strike swinging. Pages, strike, foul ball, strike out swinging. Is that not an immaculate inning? Nine pitches, three strikeouts?
If it's on, yeah, I mean, it would be.
That's what it says here.
Okay.
Nobody's reported it as immaculate inning yet, so I don't want to jump the gun. But I believe if you get three strikeouts and nine pitches, as he did, that's referred to as an immaculate inning. And according to the play-by-play sheet I'm looking at, he did not throw a single ball.
Interesting, because two things on it. Number one, I haven't seen anybody say it. And the reason I'm not sure, to be totally honest, is that I didn't see Yuki Matsui pitch with my own two eyes today because I was off doing some other stuff and trying to get some interviews. You know how this works.
Yeah, too.
Training.
No,
Guys are talking during the game.
Yes, there's so much going on.
Yeah, you're not always watching the game. So I didn't see it. Now, I could, during one of these commercials, go back and look. I think I recorded the telecast and go back and look, but that's interesting.
But what's
weird about it is I didn't see anybody like say that or tweet
that.
Right,
you think somebody would have tweeted that out if it was.
Yeah,
if he really, if he really did, go down all three like that, nine pitches, et cetera, it would have been recorded by somebody somewhere. But I don't see it. So
I see the fact
that he had each hitter that he struck out is credited with seeing only three pitches. So, all right, something to throw out there. I'm sure somebody will tweet us or send us something in the chat and update us on whether or not that was or could have been an immaculate inning for Matsui. I kind of hope it wasn't an immaculate inning, because then you can't go better than that. Yeah. I mean, the next time he throws a ball, everybody's going to go, hey, what's the matter with this guy? Hey, good news for former Aztec. Punter Matt Araiza. And, I mean, this is a guy that can use some good news after what he was dragged through. You remember the story. Alleged involved in a rape of a 17-year-old girl in 2021. Araiza was drafted into the National Football League by the Buffalo Bills, but he never played in a game. He was released in the summer of 2022, shortly after he was named in the lawsuit. His name was dragged through the mud. It was basically, he was criticized in all corners, all around the country, and media, and people rushing to judgment. And then it was found that the whole thing was basically, not even basically, it was just found that everything was untrue. Right? I mean, he didn't do anything. At least nothing that was alleged. And so Matt Araiza, the lawsuit was dropped, etc. And Araiza was basically a free man. The question was, when is somebody going to give him a chance to punt again? And the Kansas City Chiefs have done that. The Super Bowl champ signing Matt Araiza to a contract today. Apparently, Tommy Townsend, who has been the Chiefs punter the last 4 years, is going to be an unrestricted free agent. So the Chiefs will need a punter. Rise is going to get the opportunity with the Super Bowl champions. Matt Araiza saying in a statement released through his agent today, "I am proud and honored to sign a contract with the Chiefs. Thrilled to be able to continue my NFL career. I want to thank my family who have been my rock and my many friends who have been unwavering in their support. I am excited to begin the next phase of my career with the Super Bowl champs." This is a guy I think you can root for. Because, I mean, just imagine, Sammy, having your entire life ripped away from you by something, an alleged something that you know you didn't do. And you're screaming to the heavens, "Hey, I didn't do this." And yet everybody just, judge and jury, basically takes your life away from you and drags your name through the mud for a couple of years. And the fact that, you know, he was clear to the of any wrongdoing was one thing. But, you know, this kid wants to go back and punt. And he was the punt god in college at San State. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy was, you know, All-American. He was knocking 80-yard punts. So hopefully he can make it with the Kansas City Chiefs and get involved and get going in his NFL career. That would be great. He's only 23 years old, so there's plenty of time for Matt Araiza to turn this around. This is really good news. Some other okay news from Chicago regarding Hall of Fame great Steve McMichael. He had a horrible staph infection and was in critical condition. McMichael was part of the great famed Bears 46 defense during the 1985 Super Bowl season. But he is apparently going to spend one more night in the hospital tonight and hopefully going to be able to go home tomorrow. 66 years old. He was diagnosed with ALS 3 years ago. And then the urinary tract infection, which came a staph infection, and things were very touch and go there for a little while with Steve McMichael. Hopefully he's going to be okay and recover from this latest situation. All right, so Sammy, give me, like, if I didn't ask you any questions, what would you talk about for today's Padre game? What would you offer up?
What would I offer up out of today's game? Okay, so let's go through it sort of chronologically. Joe Musgrove, obviously not his finest outing.
How many pitches did he throw? 25 pitches, I heard?
Well, I'm looking at...
He was 25.
Does the box score here not have number of pitches?
The box score doesn't have it online, so unless you have a different box score than I do.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at the MLB box score. I don't see it either.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? The spring training games, it's not – I don't want to say this for sure, but during the regular season in Major League Baseball, a lot of this stuff is automated. Not all of it, but it's automated, and there's TrackMan, there's Hawkeye, there's all these technologies that do all this stuff, and we get all this information about every pitch and every play and the entire game. Spring training tends to be a lot more basic, where I think a lot of this is done manually. So I don't see a pitch count. He faced four batters. We know that. Look, sure. So that's you know, obviously the first item of business, look, it wasn't a great outing. I think Mike Schilt made a really good point, as I said earlier, to note that it was his first time in a quote-unquote major league game since last summer, because he was shut down ultimately with the shoulder issue. So you have to give him some grace. And let's be honest, who cares? It's spring training, and let's see what he looks like the next time out and the next time out and the next time out. I cannot make a big deal out of what happened with Joe today whatsoever. I just can't. So that's theme number one. I would say item number two, Yuki Matsui looked great. And I didn't hear the clip, but apparently Gavin Lux on the Dodgers telecast talked about how good he looked, and it looked like the slider was sliding, and he was getting swings and misses, which is what you want to see. You want to see swings and misses. You want to see weak contact, and he struck out the side. I don't believe I'm now seeing, Chris, I don't think it was immaculate inning, and again, we can't see the
we can't confirm or deny that
counts
at this point. Yes,
I have to watch the broadcast again. So that's number two. Jake Cronenworth, the home run. That's great to see. Look, obviously, it's a big year for Jake, one that you would really like to see him have a bounce back year. And look, I know I had a sit down, well, not a sit down, but a one-on-one interview with him a couple of days ago, and he's talked a lot early this spring about the changes he's made about putting in a lot of work during the offseason, about, you know, learning about himself, learning from other players, applying it to himself. He's clearly made some changes with his stance and with the how he's his pre-pitch. If you look, his bat is more parallel to the ground now, where if you look last year, it was a little bit more upright. So there are some subtle differences that you can already tell. And, hey, you hope the results are good. And today he hit a home run against the guy in Alex Vesia, who he just tends to hit really well. Because, of course, Vesia was the same guy who had the big hit in Game 4 of the NLDS against.
Oh, wow. I hadn't made that connection,
yes.
Sammy.
Very
good.
That was Vesia, yes.
That's why we bring you on. That's why we bring you in for little, you know, little touches like that.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, so Jay Cronenworth, he does well against Alex Vesia. So I would say those three things really are the main takeaways from today. I thought Nathan Martorella had a good piece of hitting. It was nice to see Ethan Salas out there. Oh, I would also say a big takeaway from today would be Jackson Merrill, of
yes,
course.
I mean, right, look, good. Yeah.
You know, it's tough. It's tough because you're trying to make, like, big statements on really small sample size. And the reality is Jackson Merrill had two chances in left field. He had
and
sort of a sinking liner off the bat of Mookie Betts, which he made a really nice play on. That could have been a tough ball. And then one going back, which wasn't super, super, super routine, but he went back nicely on it, lined it up the whole way and made the catch. So, you know, he looked good out there. That's all you can ask for. And I thought, and you played what he said after the game. Look, he's a good interview. He's jazzed up about it. He kept saying he was juiced up for the game and he's ready for the opportunity. There's no part of him out there, at least by what he says, that you feel like he's unsure about it. It seems like he's like, let's go. Hey, they want me out there. I'm a baseball player. Let's go do it. So I was seeing some of the reaction to his post game online and people like really like the way he talks and interacts and, you know, is kind of reacting to this whole process. And those would be the takeaways. I would say this too, Chris. You know, there's been so much made of the defense and the transition to the outfield. But I do think it's important to note with Merrill that at the end of the day, it's going to be about can he hit major league pitching at the age he is and with the experience he has, right? I mean, let's be honest. That's what it's really going to be about. And I don't think that should be lost in the shuffle. And look, we may not have a real answer on that until the regular season starts and if he's on this opening day roster and if he's playing almost every day. But that's, to me, as much of, if not the much bigger part of all this that I think we have to keep in mind. The offensive side of it is mighty important. You don't want him to be a liability in left field or center field or wherever he is, but he's got a hit. And certainly if he can play good enough defense, you'll take that too.
Sam Levitt in Peoria. I believe Tony Gwynn Jr. will be joining us shortly from Peoria. We'll take a quick break, check a little traffic. 14-1 was the score. Dodgers on the Padres today. Finishing up, Gwynn and Chris, we got a little while to go. Stick around after a check of traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. 5:23 is the time. Chris Ello. And, well, it's a cast of many today. Tony Gwynn Jr. going to be joining us, is joining us. He has made it to Peoria, Arizona. Of course, he was on the call today with Jesse Agler. Sammy Levitt is also on the program today from Peoria. It all comes up in the wake of a Padre loss in the spring training opener. The score, if you haven't heard it yet, it's not fair. 14-1, yeah. Okay, let's move past that. Tony, welcome to Baseball 2024. Yeah. Never mind the result today. I'm just sure it was wonderful to be out there and see the grand old game again.
It was. It's always fun to be able to watch some baseball and see the teams in uniform and on the freshly cut grass and all that. So, it's been a long day, but certainly not bad when you get to watch some baseball.
Yeah, you said it was good to see them in uniform, even the see-through uniforms of Major League Baseball now.
I don't know if you guys have seen some of the photos floating around.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
I'm sure these are the type of photos that gets Major League Baseball to move a little bit quicker.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something. Tony Clark, the MLBPA executive director, said it's disappointing that we've landed in a place where the uniforms are the topic of discussion.
Yeah.
But he said each conversation with the guys is yielding more information with what we're seeing. And I don't think any of the players are saying anything nice about these uniforms, so we'll see.
I think for the most part, most of the Padres wore like their old pants today. I think most of the guys elected to forego the sheer look.
Yes.
And went with last year's regular pants.
Well, player who did have the sheer look, and it was much too sheer for my eyes, and I think for everybody's eyes.
You know, I was going to say earlier today I got inside the clubhouse a lesson, and I know there are a lot of old pants still floating around because I got a lesson on how you tell the difference between the old pants and the new pants, because apparently the old pants, the belt loops are like straight up and down.
Yeah.
And the new pants, I haven't seen the new pants, the belt loops up close, but apparently they're like slanted. I've seen a lot of old pants. So yeah. I don't know who was wearing what today, but apparently a lot of old pants are still floating around.
I'll tell you what, you know, baseball players are very particular about their pants. This has been an ongoing thing for a long period of time. Guys want the pants to fit right. Although the look have changed, the importance of the pant is still very high. And
yeah.
So I imagine these guys who are creatures of habit are not feeling these pants at all. The slanted belt loops.
Yeah.
That that just doesn't help anything.
Tony, were you a Tony? I don't have a photo with me handy. Were you a pant when you wore your pants? Did you wear the ones around your ankles, or did you wear the high ones underneath the kneecap? Which did you prefer?
I did both.
You did both. Okay.
On day games, it was a tribute to Jackie Robinson. I wore my pants to kind of the knickers, the high ones.
Right, under the knee, yeah.
Under the knee. So I went with those. But on night games, most of the time I wore, the longer
pants. The longer version.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Sammy, during your professional career, what pants did you wear?
My professional career, as in my freshman year of high school.
Yes.
We didn't have multiple types of.
I know we didn't have choices when I played. That's right, Sammy.
No,
you hit it on the head. I had no choice. I wore it under the knees,
yeah.
And I had to wear the baseball socks because there was no other alternative back in those days.
Yeah, we didn't have many choices on the Hewlett High School Bulldogs baseball team. But Hewlett High School
Hewlett Hewlett.
Hewlett.
Oh, Lett. My apologies.
I used to, although when I did play, I used to. The pants were long; they weren't super long, but they did go down to your ankles, and I would roll them up and show lots of the socks. So.
See, it's funny depending on the era that you were in, right? Now it's a European cut, so the pants are a little more fitting, a little more form fitting nowadays.
Right.
It was
right.
Back when I was playing; it was a fight to get the longest pants that had some room in it. And so, I got sent down quite a bit. Best believe my big league pants went down there with me because the pants in the minor leagues just wasn't going to cut it for me. So,
pants are a big deal. Well, they're a big topic right now. I mean, that's That's what everybody's talking about.
Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the tailoring, I heard somebody say this recently, isn't the tailoring of the pants in the big leagues like a perk, a big deal, right?
Huge
like
perk.
They'll really get them right in a way in the minor leagues they would never get them like that.
Let me tell you, my first year in big league camp, I was very afraid of the vets, right? So when you go in there and they got the tailor and they're asking you about your length, the inseam,
right.
I was like, inseam, what is that? We don't get inseam down there.
Yeah.
And so you can get it, fit. Before in the minor leagues, if you want the big pants, that means you had to have the big waist. So you catch me out there with a 40 waist, even though I have like a 33, because I wanted those pants. You get to the big leagues, now you can get the same length, and now you get it tailored to your waist. It is a big league perk for sure.
Wow. All right. That's
Here's
good.
My question. Here's my question. One more thing on the pants.
Okay.
If I'm Nike and I just, paid a lot of money to be the uniform sponsor, I don't know how I then hand that off to Fanatics to then actually do the uniform.
Right.
They put their patch on it. But they're not the ones that are actually making the uniform. And I just is mind-blowing to me now because nobody's going to think about Fanatics actually doing it. They're just going to see the name Nike.
Right, Nike's going to take all
they're
the
gonna
heat.
They're going to take all the heat for this.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, a company like Nike doesn't normally find itself in this situation. But this is honestly, the last couple of years, the big discussion during spring training, rules changes, right?
Right.
Balls and strikes, clocks, and, pitch counts and all kinds of things. This year, honestly, the pants are the main topic of discussion as we start spring training. All right, we'll step aside. I want to get Tony's thoughts on opening day with the Padres and Dodgers today, what he saw out there in Peoria. We'll do that when we come back. More Gwen and Chris headed your way. Rolling along on Gwen and Chris. Good show today with everybody contributing from all corners of the globe. 5:37 is the time. Bryce Miller joined us earlier from Peoria. He's with the Padres, San Diego Union Tribune's fine columnist, and we're happy to report. Tony, I don't know if you have run into Bryce Miller yet, but he says he's cancer-free. His chemotherapy went well, and he's feeling great. So we were able to catch up with him a little earlier and get that really good news out there. He'd written about that in a column last year about the cancer, and sounds like everything's okay with Bryce Miller, at least right now, moving forward. So I know you're friends with Bryce, and happy to hear that news as well.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I know last time we had him on, I had asked him about how he was feeling. What, you know, he at that point he was kind of, you could tell he was hesitant to really talk about it. I don't know if it was because he didn't want to jinx himself, but
yeah,
that is awesome news for Bryce, man. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, and that's the best news we've had all day for sure. Sam Levitt is also with us in Peoria today. Adam Klug has been manning the board. Tony, you missed it. Adam Klug a little earlier today as the master of ceremonies for Chris versus the fans. Did a very nice job.
Ah.
And, you know, so much.
Way not to drop the ball, Adam. Nice work, buddy.
He was there. He was on top of it.
Can I tell Tony my strategy for the round three question and how badly I failed at it?
What was your strategy?
So I looked at the questions and I thought they were fairly tough, but I'm like, I'm trying to choose the question that I think Chris has the best chance to get wrong. Right? That's, so that, yes, to help the, yes, caller out. And so I picked the question, and Chris goes, well, that was easy. Like, got it immediately. Like, the see, caller didn't get it right. He had no clue.
What you'll learn if you get to do this a little bit more often is Chris will slow play you. Like, he'll act as though he
My point is he didn't even slow play. He just
went right to it. Yeah. That was probably a bad question to pick then.
Yeah.
You want to run this one by Tony?
I don't think anybody knows that one, honestly.
All right.
I think even people in St. Louis don't know that they were the first U.S. city to host the Olympics. So somehow I know that.
In 1904.
Yeah, 1904.
I purposely skipped over that one the last time we played.
Yeah.
It's good.
I knew it, and as I told Adam at the time, Tony, had you and Scraby been here, you guys would have kidded that I was there for the opening ceremonies. So.
To be fair, Scraby would have definitely have said
he would have
that
definitely mentioned that. Yes. All right. Some of your thoughts on the opening day today, Tony. I mean, I think the obvious stuff was Musgrove struggling a little bit, Cronenworth homers, and Yuki Matsui wows him with that strikeout, the side inning.
We'll start with Joe. I said this during the game when a starter like him, like Joe, who is depend so heavily on spin.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not something that, you know, this earlier in spring that it's going to be crisp. And it wasn't just Joe. It really, outside of Yuki, everybody who threw breaking balls for the most part hung one or two and they all got hit. And so it's different for a guy who maybe is a fastball changeup guy, occasional breaking ball. You got a little more command, a little more feel for those pitches. With spin, it can be a little rocky sometimes. And I think we've seen this from Joe early in spring as he goes through his checklist. Joe is very meticulous in how he wants to build up for the season. And there are a certain amount of boxes that he wants to check. And I promise you, none of them really have to do with getting outs at this point. It's more about feel. It's more about location, where he's putting the ball. I think as we get towards the back end, outs obviously starts to factor in there a little bit more. But I wasn't discouraged from what I saw from Joe. I know what he's doing in terms of the offense. Sometimes it's going to be like this. The Dodgers jumped out early. They were helped by some walks and not being able to command the baseball, but. As you know, it's hard to really, even after a full spring training, it's hard to put a lot of stock into numbers and what you're seeing. But certainly in the first game, wasn't great for the Padres. It was great for the Dodgers on their end. And, you know, you chalk it up and get ready for tomorrow's game.
Move on to another one. We had Sam Levitt talking a little bit about Cronenworth and how he's made some changes.
I noticed.
Tony, what did you notice? Yeah, I was going to ask you what you saw.
His hand position is different than it was in the past. I think he's got his hands a little bit higher. And he does. And I think my guess, I haven't talked to Jake yet because I haven't been in the locker room yet. But my guess is that he's trying to eliminate movement that he doesn't necessarily need. So he's starting the hands closer to where he wants to finish. And it's really just kind of cocking it into position so that he can take the swing that he wants. That's what I noticed. Now, I'll confirm that, or I'll tell you it wasn't accurate tomorrow when I see him and ask him about it. But certainly when you make an adjustment or you're trying to make an adjustment and you get a good result right away, it only pours into the confidence that it's the right adjustment to make. So, you know, obviously going deep in the first spring training game, I think will go a long way to whatever he's whatever adjustment he's trying to make.
Not to be in, and I don't mean in a negative way in any way. The pitch he hit, Tony, I don't know if you saw it, but it looked like a hanging changeup on the inside of the plate, something off speed. That seems like a pitch a lefty on lefty should put a good swing on. Yes?
Yeah. If it was, I don't know what the pitch was. If it indeed was a changeup, yes, this is that is the danger of throwing lefty on lefty changeup. But
right.
You see it more and more in today's games. Guys are who are comfortable with the changeup will throw it to lefties and righties. But regardless of where the pitch was, first day of spring, you made an adjustment, you get a good result, you take it no matter how it comes.
How about Yuki Matsui? I mean, that's a good way to start, right? That's going to put a good thought in everybody's head.
Absolutely. I mean, he there wasn't much to really talk about. He mowed through the three guys he faced. Gavin Lux, I saw him talking about it. He certainly was impressed. Now, obviously, Gavin literally hasn't played baseball since about a year ago today, almost, when he tore his knee up at the Peoria Complex. So, I mean, he's rusty, but it wasn't just him that Yuki Matsui made look bad. It was about two other guys in that lineup that didn't get good swings off at all. Right now, it's tough to tell whether the 82 is the breaking ball or it's the split. He was throwing 82, 86, and then he was running it up there 94, 95.
I saw a
77 in there as well. I think that was the curveball he threw.
The only thing I'll say, Tony, is Yuki said afterwards that he was using the slider a lot.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah, he said slider because I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't see a pitch he threw because I was out trying to get Joe Musgrove afterwards, which, by the way, long story, I ended up missing because I was in the wrong spot, and our beat writer friends did not bother to text me to get me into the right spot. There was miscommunication.
It's spring training for you too, man. It's all good.
Yes.
Wait a second. Somebody called Joe Musgrove because he's a nice enough guy. He'll come back to the complex and visit with you if you'd like, Sam. You know Joe.
He probably would.
Yeah.
But long story short, I didn't see a single pitch he threw, but I was there when Yuki talked afterwards, and he did say that he was using the slider when we asked him about the breaking pitch in particular, what he was using. So I don't know for sure, but he did say slider.
I know he threw one curveball. It was tough to tell if it was the slider or split, but his words kind of confirmed what I thought it was, and that was the slider. He threw it to Lux. I think he struck Lux out on a slider. I think he struck another guy out on the slider. I can't remember who it was for the last out of the inning. He looked really, really good. Really good.
Well,
we might end up having another competition that we didn't necessarily anticipate in the back end if Matsui's going to continue to look like that.
Yeah, and what I had, Tony, and we didn't get this confirmed or denied, but since nobody tweeted it out, I'm assuming it's not correct. But having said that, the ESPN box score of play-by-play indicates that he didn't throw a single ball in the nine pitches, and therefore that would have been an immaculate inning. Did they get that wrong in the box score? Because that's what I had. But I didn't see anybody tweet that out, which I think somebody would have. So
considering that I arrived after, I mean, the game had already started, I was playing catch-up all game long. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I don't remember anybody, like, doing anything against him. So he could have very, very well not thrown one ball. I just didn't notice it.
So you had a quiet, easy drive out there. You're not telling us. Is that what happened?
I mean, I definitely had a quiet, easy drive. It's just when I pulled in at 107, the parking lot was full. And of course, when you're running late, something has to happen, right?
Yes,
so I'm pulling in to the Padres lot. And there's some construction going on in the lot. And there's this huge semi that needs to back into the lot.
Tony, backing in again. There we go. Backing in. It cost you today.
So I had to wait, like, on the street for about 5 minutes, and then I get in there. The officer wasn't trying to let me in at first. I was like, I'm doing the broadcast. I'm running a little late.
Right.
So I get in there. I run in there, and normally I park on the outside of the gate, and you walk into the stadium. Today I was like, I don't have time to find parking out here. I'm going to try to see if they'll let me park. My man let me park into the right next to the stadium. I run up.
Oh, nice.
Jesse's already, you know, mid talk. I think the second or maybe no, the bases were loaded when I got up there, actually. And then so from that point on, I was playing catch up the rest of the day trying to figure it out.
Here's
people
the funny
parking
part
in, backing in. That's the theme of this. Go ahead, Sam.
A funny part of this is two things. Number one, I hadn't thought about how there's construction in that parking lot. I keep seeing it, right? But I hadn't thought about how that would minimize the amount of parking. I will say, though, on my walk from the Padres building to the field, I heard somebody say the parking was crazy today.
It's
and my
nuts.
First thought, because I knew you weren't there yet, my first thought was, oh, man, Tony. I was like, this may not be good. But
and
you,
and because
you.
It,
it's spring
because
training.
It was, because it was the first spring training game, no one left early. Like, usually there's guys who have days off.
Right.
So when everybody else has already done parking, guys, there will be some parking spots in the players area that they usually park because they've left for the day. But everybody stayed for the day, so nobody left. And there was no parking, so I had to figure it out. I did, though.
You made it. Let's check. Speaking of no parking, let's check a quick look at traffic here to help everybody get home, and then we'll finish up the program.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Got a couple things wrapping up our afternoon drive. Collision on southbound 15, right around Adams Avenue. It's in the center divide. And, oh no, South 805 past Mesa College. Collision involving a couple vehicles. One's in the center divide, but the other one is in the second lane from the left. That's South 805 past Mesa College. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Adam Klug just earned MVP honors for the show just at the last minute here. Reminded me that we've got to give away a couple of tickets to a Padres spring training game. We had talked about that
MVP.
Earlier.
MVP.
And,
MVP.
Yeah, thank you, Adam.
MVP.
Well done on that. So I'm going to give you a trivia question. Don't start dialing in until you get the question because Adam's not going to pick up the calls. So you need to hear the question first, but the first person who gets it right will get a couple of Padres spring training tickets and also qualify for a chance to go to Peoria, the sports complex there, grand prize flyaway trip for two. That includes spring training tickets, a Southwest gift card, and a one-night hotel stay, all made possible by the Peoria Sports Complex. Visit PeoriaBaseball.com. So here's that question. Should I ask it now, Adam, or should I? Okay. Here we go. For the Padres spring training tickets, who is the all-time leader in wins for the San Diego Padres? Who's the all-time leader in wins as a pitcher for the San Diego Padres? If you name that.
I hope so.
Yeah, right. That's the first person with the correct answer will win the Padre tickets. I'm giving Adam the answer in case he doesn't know it already.
He doesn't.
Do you see it, Adam, there?
He's from the ATL. He doesn't know that.
He doesn't know these things. Here, Adam, it's right here.
No.
I wrote it on the...
No, he's got it now.
He got it now.
Okay.
All right. LeBron James sits out tonight, Tony Gwynn Jr. I know that makes you happy as the NBA season kicks into the second half.
No, it's not my favorite. But
I know. It's not your favorite.
It's the front end of a back-to-back.
Ah.
I hear he's going to play tomorrow. So
okay. So he's the guy to name. So I love the NBA. He's out with an ankle injury tonight, an ankle injury they know will be healed by tomorrow. That's always comical.
It is the new era of medicine. They can predict these things.
They can predict these things. Well, well stated. Well stated. A couple of other news items around today. The Miami Marlins added Tim Anderson, 1 year contract.
I like this signing.
Not a bad move. They didn't really have a. They had John Birdie playing shortstop.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, Anderson's a .282 career hitter. He's hit over 300 a few times. Not bad.
I think with Skip over there especially, I really like the signing. I think he's the right type of manager for Tim at this point.
Yeah, Anderson. Go ahead.
I was going to say who was trying to, because to me, there's no reason why a guy like him should have been a free agent this long. The only thing I can think of is some of the off the field issues, his personal life that have kind of bled over, as to why a team wouldn't want that guy. Like he's, as you said, he's a 285 hitter. When he's right, he is consistently at the top end of batting average year in and year out.
Yeah, last year he was not. Go ahead, Sammy.
You want to know what his batting averages have been before last year?
Yeah, because last year was an awful year. 335.
Yeah. Going back to 2019, 335, 322, 309, 301.
Yeah. I mean, last year was just an aberration as the way I look at it.
He should have been signed way earlier.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of why you wouldn't have – you wouldn't want a guy in your lineup. He's as improved as a shortstop defensively as well. So I think this is a great signing for a team that snuck into the playoffs last year. This is not a bad signing at all.
Tim Anderson's a leader on the field too, whether you like him as a leader or don't. Rolling along on Gwen and Chris. Good show today with everybody contributing from all corners of the globe. 5:37 is the time. Bryce Miller joined us earlier from Peoria. He's with the Padres. San Diego Union Tribune's fine columnist, and we're happy to report. Tony, I don't know if you have run into Bryce Miller yet, but he says he's cancer-free. His chemotherapy went well, and he's feeling great. So we were able to catch up with him a little earlier and get that really good news out there. He'd written about that in a column last year about the cancer. And sounds like everything's okay with Bryce Miller, at least right now, moving forward. So I know you're friends with Bryce, and happy to hear that news as well.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. I know last time we had him on, I had asked him about how he was feeling. But, you know, he at that point, he was kind of, you could tell he was hesitant to really talk about it. I don't know if it was because he didn't want to jinx himself, but
yeah.
That is awesome news for Bryce, man. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, and that's the best news we've had all day for sure. Sam Levitt is also with us in Peoria today. Adam Klug has been manning the board. Tony, you missed it. Adam Klug a little earlier today as the master of ceremonies for Chris versus the fans. Did a very nice job.
Ah.
And, you know, so much.
Way not to drop the ball, Adam. Nice work, buddy.
He was there. He was on top of it.
Can I tell Tony my strategy for the round three question and how badly I failed at it?
What was your strategy?
So I looked at the questions and I thought they were fairly tough, but I'm like, I'm trying to choose the question that I think Chris has the best chance to get wrong. Right? Caller out. And so I picked the question, and Chris goes, well, that one's easy. Like, got it immediately. Like, the caller didn't get it right. He had no clue.
What you'll learn if you get to do this a little bit more often is Chris will slow play you. Like, he'll act as though he
doesn't. My point is he didn't even slow play it. He just
went right to it. Yeah. That was probably a bad question to pick then.
Yeah.
You want to run this one by Tony?
I don't think anybody knows that one, honestly.
Right.
I think even people in St. Louis don't know that they were the first U.S. city to host the Olympics. So somehow I know that.
In 1904.
Yeah, 1904.
I purposely skipped over that one the last time we played.
Yeah.
It's good.
I knew it, and as I told Adam at the time, Tony, had you and Scraby been here, you guys would have kidded that I was there for the opening ceremonies. So.
To be fair, Scraby would have definitely have said
he would have
that
definitely mentioned that. Yes. All right. Some of your thoughts on the opening day today, Tony. I mean, I think the obvious stuff was Musgrove struggling a little bit, Cronenworth homers, and Yuki Matsui wows him with that strikeout the side inning.
We'll start with Joe. And I said this during the game when a starter like him, like Joe, who is depend so heavily on spin.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not something that, you know, this earlier in spring that it's going to be crisp. And it wasn't just Joe. It really, outside of Yuki, everybody who threw breaking balls for the most part hung one or two and they all got hit. And so it's different for a guy who maybe is a fastball changeup guy, occasional breaking ball. You got a little more command, a little more feel for those pitches. With spin, it can be a little rocky sometimes. And I think we've seen this from Joe early in spring as he goes through his checklist. Joe is very meticulous in how he wants to build up for the season. And there are a certain amount of boxes that he wants to check. And I promise you, none of them really have to do with getting outs at this point. It's more about feel. It's more about location, where he's putting the ball. I think as we get towards the back end, outs obviously starts to factor in there a little bit more. But I wasn't discouraged from what I saw from Joe. I know what he's doing. In terms of the offense, you know, sometimes it's going to be like this. The Dodgers jumped out early. They were helped by some walks and some, you know, not being able to command the baseball. But as you know, it's hard to really, even after a full spring training, it's hard to put a lot of stock into numbers and what you're seeing. But certainly in the first game, wasn't great for the Padres. It was great for the Dodgers on their end, and you know, you chalk it up and get ready for tomorrow's game.
Move on to another one. We had Sam Levitt talking a little bit about Cronenworth and how he's made some changes.
I noticed.
Tony, what did you notice? Yeah, I was going to ask you what you saw.
His hand position is different than it was in the past. I think he's got his hands a little bit higher. And he does. And I think my guess, I haven't talked to Jake yet because I haven't been in the locker room yet. But my guess is that he's trying to eliminate movement that he doesn't necessarily need. So he's starting the hands closer to where he wants to finish. And it's really just kind of cocking it in a position so that he can take the swing that he wants. That's what I noticed. Now I'll confirm that, or I'll tell you it wasn't accurate tomorrow when I see him and ask him about it. But certainly when you make an adjustment, or you're trying to make an adjustment and you get a good result right away, it only pours into the confidence that it's the right adjustment to make. So, you know, obviously going deep in the first spring training game, I think will go a long way to whatever adjustment he's trying to make.
Not to be and I don't mean in a negative way in any way. The pitch he hit, Tony, I don't know if you saw it, but it looked like a hanging changeup on the inside of the plate, something off speed. That seems like a pitch a lefty on lefty should put a good swing on. Yes?
Yeah, if it was, I don't know what the pitch was. If it indeed was a changeup, yes, that is the danger of throwing lefty on lefty changeup. But
right.
You see it more and more in today's games. Guys who are comfortable with the changeup will throw it to lefties and righties. But regardless of where the pitch was, first day of spring, you made an adjustment, you get a good result, you take it no matter how it comes.
How about Yuki Matsui? I mean, that's a good way to start, right? That's going to put a good thought in everybody's head.
Absolutely. I mean, there wasn't much to really talk about. He mowed through the three guys he faced. Gavin Lux, I saw him talking about it. He certainly was impressed. Now, obviously, Gavin literally hasn't played baseball since about a year ago today, almost, when he tore his knee up at the Peoria Complex. So, I mean, he's rusty, but it wasn't just him that Yuki Matsui made look bad. It was about two other guys in that lineup that didn't get good swings off at all. Right now, it's tough to tell whether the 82 is the breaking ball or it's the split. He was throwing 82, 86, and then he was running it up there 94, 95.
I saw a
77 in there as well. I think that was the curveball he threw.
The only thing I'll say, Tony, is Yuki said afterwards that he was using the slider a lot.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah, he said slider because I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't see a pitch he threw because I was out trying to get Joe Musgrove afterwards, which, by the way, long story, I ended up missing because I was in the wrong spot, and our beat writer friends did not bother to text me to get me into the right spot. There was miscommunication.
It's spring training for you too, man. It's all good.
Yes.
Wait a second. Somebody called Joe Musgrove because he's a nice enough guy. He'll come back to the complex and visit with you if you like, Sam. You know Joe.
He probably would.
Yeah.
But long story short, I didn't see a single pitch he threw, but I was there when Yuki talked afterwards, and he did say that he was using the slider when we asked him about the breaking pitch in particular, what he was using. So I don't know for sure, but he did say slider.
I know he threw one curveball. it was tough to tell if it was the slider or split, but his words kind of confirmed what I thought it was, and that was the slider. He threw it to Lux. I think he struck Lux out on a slider. I think he struck another guy out on the slider. I can't remember who it was for the last out of the inning. He looked really, really good. Really good.
Well,
we might end up having another competition that we didn't necessarily anticipate in the back end if Matsui's going to continue to look like that.
Yeah, and what I had, Tony, and we didn't get this confirmed or denied, but since nobody tweeted it out, I'm assuming it's not correct. But having said that, the ESPN box score of play-by-play indicates that he didn't throw a single ball in the nine pitches, and therefore that would have been an immaculate inning. Did they get that wrong in the box score? Because that's what I had. But I didn't see anybody tweet that out, which I think somebody would have. So,
considering that I arrived after, I mean, the game had already started, I was playing catch up all game long. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I don't remember anybody like doing anything against him. So he could have very well not thrown one ball. I just didn't notice it.
So you had a quiet, easy drive out there. You're not telling us. Is that what happened?
I mean, I definitely had a quiet, easy drive. It's just when I pulled in at 107, the parking lot was full. And of course, when you're running late, something has to happen, right?
Yes,
so I'm pulling in to the Padres lot, and there's some construction going on in the lot. And there's this huge semi that needs to back into the lot.
Tony, so, backing in again. There we go. Backing in. It cost you today.
So I had to wait, like, on the street for about 5 minutes. And then I get in there. The officer wasn't trying to let me in at first. I was like, I'm doing the broadcast. I'm running a little late.
Right.
So I get in there. I run in there. And normally I park on the outside of the gate and you walk into the stadium. Today I was like, I don't have time to find parking out here. I'm going to try to see if they'll let me park. My man let me park into the right next to the stadium. I run up.
Oh, nice.
Jesse's already, you know, mid talk about, I think the second or maybe no, the bases were loaded when I got up there actually. And then so from that point on, I was playing catch up the rest of the day trying to figure it out.
Here's
people
the funny
parking
part
in,
of,
backing in,
here's a,
backing in. Here's that's
a,
what it, that's
here's
the,
a funny,
the theme of this. Go ahead, Sam.
A funny part of this is two things. Number one, I hadn't thought about how there's construction in that parking lot. I keep seeing it, right? But I hadn't thought about how that would minimize the amount of parking. I will say, though, on my walk from the Padres building to the field, I heard somebody say the parking was crazy today.
It's
and my
nuts.
First thought, because I knew you weren't there yet, my first thought was, oh, man, Tony. I was like, this may not be good. But
and
you
and because
it, it's spring
because
training.
It was, because it was the first spring training game, no one left early. Like, usually there's guys who have days off. So
right.
When everybody else has already done parking, guys, there will be some parking spots in the players' area that they usually park because they've left for the day. But everybody stayed for the day, so nobody left, and there was no parking. So I had to figure it out. I did, though.
You made it. Let's check. Speaking of no parking, let's check a quick look at traffic here to help everybody get home, and then we'll finish up the program.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Got a couple things wrapping up our afternoon drive. Collision on southbound 15, right around Adams Avenue. It's in the center divide. And, oh no, South 805 past Mesa College. Collision involving a couple vehicles. One's in the center divide, but the other one is in the second lane from the left. That's South 805 past Mesa College. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Adam Klug just earned MVP honors for the show just at the last minute here. Reminded me that we've got to give away a couple of tickets to a Padres spring training game. We had talked about that
MVP.
Earlier.
MVP.
And,
MVP.
Yeah, thank you, Adam.
MVP.
Well done on that. So I'm going to give you a trivia question. Don't start dialing in until you get the question because Adam's not going to pick up the calls. So you need to hear the question first, but the first person who gets it right will get a couple of Padres spring training tickets and also qualify for a chance to go to Peoria, the sports complex there, grand prize flyaway trip for two. That includes spring training tickets, a Southwest gift card, and a one-night hotel stay, all made possible by the Peoria Sports Complex. Visit PeoriaBaseball.com. So here's that question. Should I ask it now, Adam, or should I? Okay. Here we go. For the Padres spring training tickets, who is the all-time leader in wins for the San Diego Padres? Who's the all-time leader in wins as a pitcher for the San Diego Padres? If you name that...
I hope so.
Yeah, right. That's first person with the correct answer will win the Padre tickets. I'm giving Adam the answer in case he doesn't know it already.
He doesn't.
Do you see it, Adam, there?
He's from the ATL. He doesn't know that.
He doesn't know these things. Here, Adam, it's right here.
No.
I wrote it on the...
He's got it now.
He got it now.
Okay.
All right. LeBron James sits out tonight. Tony Gwynn Jr., I know that makes you happy as the NBA season kicks into the second half.
No, it's not my favorite. But
I know. It's not your favorite.
It's the front end of a back-to-back.
Ah.
I hear he's going to play tomorrow. So
okay. So he's the guy to name. So I love the NBA. He's out with an ankle injury tonight, an ankle injury they know will be healed by tomorrow. That's always comical.
It is the new era of medicine. They can predict these things.
Well stated. Well stated. A couple of other news items around today. The Miami Marlins added Tim Anderson, 1-year contract.
I like this signing.
Not a bad move. They didn't really have a. They had John Birdie playing shortstop.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, Anderson's a .282 career hitter. He's hit over .300 a few times. Not bad.
I think with Skip over there especially, I really like the signing. I think he's the right type of manager for Tim at this point.
Yeah, Anderson. Go ahead.
I was going to say because to me, there's no reason why a guy like him should have been a free agent this long. The only thing I can think of is some of the off-the-field issues, his personal life that have kind of bled over as to why a team wouldn't want that guy. Like he's, as you said, he's a .285 hitter. When he's right, he is consistently at the top end of batting average year in and year out.
Yeah. Last year he was not. Go ahead, Sammy.
You want to know what his batting averages have been before last year?
Yeah, because last year was an awful year. 335.
Yeah. Going back to 2019, 335, 322, 309. 301.
Yeah. I mean, last year was just an aberration is the way I look at it.
He should have been signed way earlier.
That's
the only thing I can think of why you wouldn't have you wouldn't want a guy in your lineup. He's as improved as a shortstop defensively as well. So I think this is a great signing for a team that snuck into the playoffs last year. This is not a bad signing at all.
Tim Anderson's a leader on the field too. Whether you like him as a leader or don't like him, he is a leader. I mean, he's vocal out there, and he sticks up for his guys. He was on the short end of that Jose Ramirez punch last year, everybody can get caught with their guard down once in a while.
Exactly. Anybody can get caught with a shot.
Yeah, he got caught with a shot. But you're right. I mean, last year he had his OPS last year was .582, which was the lowest of every player that qualified in the entire Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So basically, he was the worst hitter in the league last year, but he's not the worst hitter in baseball. He just isn't.
No,
I mean, if you look at him consistently, as Sammy said, through his career, he's always been really, really good, normally over .800 OPS.
I'm willing to bet that some of the personal issues he was dealing with last year had a lot to do with the drop-off in production. And not to mention, being in that clubhouse, that Chicago White Sox team last year.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like it was definitely conducive for anybody, especially if you had something else going on personally.
Right. Adam, who won the prize? Did we get a winner yet?
Yes, sir. John Perez.
John got in
there. Nice job, John.
Way to go, John. The answer was Eric Schau, the only Padre pitcher ever to win 100 games. He won exactly 100.
Yes, he did.
For the Padres. Rest in peace, Eric Schau, by the way. All right, guys, go enjoy your evening out. I'm sure you guys got a big night lined up in Peoria. We'll just sit here and take it easy in San Diego. And we'll catch up to everybody tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thanks for joining us for Scraby, for Tony, and thanks to Sammy Levitt and Adam Klug, Chris Ello. Have a good rest of your Thursday evening, everyone. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.